And my title is Your Name Engraved on His Hand, which is a quote from Isaiah 49 and verses 15 to 16, which reads like this. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, and tragically we've seen cases in the news, haven't we, where mothers and sometimes fathers as well have not cared for their children. But what does God say? Yet, I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. I want to follow that up by a passage from Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Just wait for those who are opening their Bibles to get there. Romans 8 from 31. And it follows on very well from Isaiah, actually, because it's the same theme. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And I could add into that little bracket, eat your heart out, Putin. If God is for his people, who can be against them? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, and indeed is interceding for us. That's good to know, isn't it? Jesus is praying for you. If you're a believer today, he's praying for you right now, to his Father. Now, you couldn't have a better understanding than that, could you? That our Savior, my Jesus, is praying for me now. And boy, do I need his prayers. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. And there have been many, many believers in Christ who've had to go that way, haven't they? Even in our own country, in the reign of Queen Mary. She was rightly called Bloody Mary. She shed a lot of innocent blood. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, no powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And if that doesn't encourage us, I don't know what will. Yes, hallelujah indeed. What can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Nothing. Nothing in this world at all. No one. Principalities, powers, they think they have power over everything. Rich people think they have power over us, but they haven't. Because God is with us. So, I want to ask you this question. What is our faith reliant upon? What is your faith reliant on? You know, as a young Christian, I had quite a lot of problems. Well, still have. If you've got any doubt about that, there's somebody over there who can tell you all about it. Yeah, I still have quite a few problems. But I agonized over the question, am I really saved? I must have asked Jesus to save me at least a dozen times, probably more than once a day. But then I was very blessed when I began to understand the doctrines of grace. When I began to understand that God has done it all. Has done it all. And all I have to do is put my trust in him. And then I can leave that with him. He has saved me by his grace. Now, was there anything in me that would merit him saving me? Not at all. Not a, one speck of goodness in me would make it possible for him to save me. It's by his grace. And when I began to understand that, then all those fears sort of evaporated overnight. And I was able to say, praise the Lord, I'm saved by his wonderful grace. And that's an amazing, amazing thing. I was very blessed when we were married. Well, blessed when we were married anyway, but is it 54 years now, dear? But who's counting? Yes, okay. I once was at a checkout, I was buying an anniversary card. It must have been about a few years ago, so it's probably about the 40-something anniversary. The girl said, oh, is it? And it was somebody's anniversary. I said, our wedding anniversary. Oh, how many years? So I told her, good grief, she said, most people only last about 3 years. That's a tragic, isn't it? Eh? Isn't that tragic? That's indictment on our society, hasn't it? The what it's come to. But I've been, and the blessed thing we were married, we attended a small village church who called a pastor who preached the doctrines of grace. His name was Arthur Moon. He was actually born in Peru because his parents were missionaries there. He was a lovely preacher. He was a lay pastor. He had a job to do as well during the day. A lovely man. And he taught me a lot. He preached the doctrines of grace. Now, we had a couple who'd been Methodists. And they were kept, for some reason, they either fell out with the Methodists or something, but they came to our church. And after a few weeks, they went to him and they said, if what you're saying is true, we're not really Christians. And he led them to Christ. And that was amazing, absolutely amazing. God blessed that ministry. And he blessed it to me as well. Now, your name engraved on his hand. When Isaiah uses the word name, it means more than just your name. Because I happen to know there is at least one other Christian called Michael Wilcock. So if I saw my name engraved on his hand, I think, well, that might be the other one. As Baxter said, he was very glad that the scripture said, whosoever will might be saved. It didn't say Richard Baxter, if he believes, might be saved, because there might be another Richard Baxter. No, it means me. It's my very essence is engraved on the palm of his hand. We're so close to our Father's heart. That's where he sees us. You know, when the priests went into the temple, they had a breastplate on with 12 precious stones. And on each stone was engraved one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And the idea was that they were there presenting God's people to God. Their names were there for him to see. And more than that, it's not just that he's got your name as a nation on his hand, he's got your very essence engraved on his hand. We're so close to the Father. It's like that. You know, as I said, I know one other Christian called the same name as me. He's an Anglican vicar, I believe, somewhere now. He was a curate at All Souls in London. But when we say that, I know that in eternity, there will be no mistake. No mistake. When I first went to see Will in Albania, I went to the church in Fier, and somebody came up to me and said, hey, did you write that book on Romans? I said, no, that wasn't me. That was somebody else. Yes. <it's, laughs> But I said, no, that wasn't me. But it was nice to be thought of in that sense, wasn't it? But you see, there'll be no mistakes in heaven. He will know you because you are engraved on his hand. You, your very essence, he will know you. He will know me. There'll be no mistakes in heaven. And Paul explains that further in 1 Corinthians 13. He writes this, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. You know, you can't hide anything from God. That's awesome, isn't it? You can sometimes hide things from those you love, can't you? Sometimes I think I can hide things from my wife. That doesn't work either. But from God, Nothing is hidden, but he still loves you. He died for you. He paid the price of your sin, all your sin, sins in the past, sins now, sins in the future. That's amazing, isn't it? And then we have this record of what Jesus said about this very subject. This is from John chapter 10, from verse 22. At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered round him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But as you do not believe, because you are not among my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." And verse 29, this is what it says. Listen to this very, very carefully. "My Father," this is Jesus speaking, don't forget, "my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." That's just one of the tremendous promises that Jesus gives us. No one can snatch us out of the Father's hand. He is holding on to you so in such a way, no one can drag you away. That's amazing. This is one of the tremendous promises we can rely upon completely for our eternal salvation. It's not, you know, perhaps I've got to do better to make sure. Perhaps I've got to be more religious to make sure. Perhaps I've got to do more good things to make sure. No. No one is able to snatch you out of the Father's hand. That is so an amazing truth. It's mind-bending. But just as they are tremendous promises we can rely upon for our eternal salvation, there are two possible responses, aren't there? The first one is this. Well, in that case, surely it doesn't really matter what I really do. You know, I could just do what I like. It doesn't matter. He's going to save me anyway. Yeah. What a terrible response to such love, eh? And Paul has an answer to that in Romans 6, isn't he? What should we say then? Are we to continue in sin by that grace may abound? In the good old authorized version, which I grew up with, you know, the King James, he uses rather strong language. God forbid, he says. God forbid. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him in baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Now, amazing, isn't it? Really amazing. But that's what God has done for us. Now, what should this wonderful truth really do for us? Well, it should cause us to fall down before an amazing God, who, though we are sinners, sent Jesus to pay the penalty for our sin. And Paul also enlarges on this in the same chapter of Romans. "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? Well, the end of those things is death. But now that you've been set free from sin and become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know, it would seem to me that we should evidence more joy than those who've won the Euros lottery. You see them, don't you? "Well, I've won the lottery, woohoo, all my problems are over." No. All their problems are just starting, believe me. They're just starting. But we should show more than that, shouldn't we? We should show joy because we've been saved by grace. We should show joy because our sins are dealt with. Jesus lives in our hearts. He's praying for us right now. Every moment of every day is interceding for you. Interceding for you and you and you. I can't really have words to describe how wonderful these truths are. That your name, your very essence, is engraved on his hand. Now, what could be more wonderful than that, eh? What could be more satisfying and comforting than to know that you are so close to God, so close to him, that your name is engraved on his hand. Brenda, your name is engraved on his hand. Mary, your name. Susan, your name. Gerald, your name. Brother, your name. Your name, I trust. Your name, brother. Our names are engraved on the palm of his hand. What a marvelous, wonderful Savior we have. What a marvelous God who's done all this for us. Why would he do that for me? Did I deserve it? No. It's amazing. It's love so amazing, so divine. It demands my soul, my love, my all. Yeah. Let's pray. Father God, how can we thank you? How can we praise you enough for what you have done? The little we do is nothing, nothing compared with what you have done on our behalf. Will you really, by your Holy Spirit, write these truths on our hearts? Keep them in our minds, just like the Israelites had to write words of scripture on their foreheads, and it became a sort of habit. But write your name, your attributes, your divine love on our minds, Lord, day by day, every waking hour, every sleeping hour, that we will praise you and worship you as we should, bow down before your majesty and before your grace, that we might honor you in all we do. Bless us at a church fellowship, we pray. May the gospel of grace go from this place with the power of the Holy Spirit behind, that it might bring many into the kingdom. We pray in the Saviour's precious name. Amen.